Hello, welcome to the Girl and Duck podcast. I'm Jen Storer, acclaimed children's book author and chief inspirationalist. That's not a term I made up. At girlandduck.com, creative writing, creative life. At Girl and Duck, I take you on a journey from exploring the art of kidlit creation right through to mastering the art of kidlit creation. To find out more about the courses and products that I offer, pop over to the website. You're bound to find inspiration and support and something to absolutely love over there. That's www.girlandduck.com. But in the meantime, stick around because we've got lots to talk about. It's this thing. It's the microphone thing, you know. You have all these things you want to say and then you sit down in front of the microphone and your head just drains away. You think, oh, hang on, what was I going to talk about? Why didn't I write notes? Let me think. Hello. I have a couple of things I want to talk to you about today. And what I'm going to do is, there's people that follow me that are creative writers and illustrators and artists of all different descriptions. There are other people that follow me that are businesswomen who have online businesses and are just coming along for the ride as well. And I have sort of held back on talking about online business too much because I've tried to keep the podcast fairly focused. But, you know, focus is not one of my strongest points when it comes to my passions. And so I'm going to just waffle a little bit in this. So I might be talking about things that are not that much of interest to you, but I hope they are. I hope they're entertaining for you when I go to talk about, you know, online business and things that I do. All right. First of all, I want to say, I just came out of a live call, a Duck Pond office hours for February, and I absolutely friggin' love office hours. I keep saying I need to change the name because I don't like it, but it sounds really stiff and corporate, but, you know, it's our monthly group coaching call, and we get in there on the first Thursday of every month, and we have a Q&A, but we also now have writing exercises and goal-setting times and check-ins, you know, with what we got achieved or didn't get achieved. And it's just really about supporting everybody and, you know, enjoying our time together and enjoying what we're doing and what we're creating. So I always get a lot out of the sessions as well as everybody else. So today someone brought up the podcast and said how much she had enjoyed it and how much she enjoyed listening to it. And she also referred to the episode way back when, it can't be that far back, can it? I mean, I've only done about 26 episodes, but who am I trying to kid? But anyway, it was one of the earlier episodes and she talked where I talked about backstory. And how backstory is not the story. And so that opened up a really great discussion in office hours this morning about backstory and about how, you know, it is a tendency for, well, I say emerging, but also established authors can easily fall into this too, where we think that backstory is the story. You know, and we get seduced by it and we end up sitting in it and we feel like we're writing because, you know, we are actually writing, but we're not really moving the story forward when we're stuck in backstory. So that's what that episode is all about. And you can go back and have a listen to that if you need to tap into that wisdom. But also we talked about, you know, how do you different ways that you can, you know, because there is backstory that you do need to share. You know, sometimes it is important to share backstory with the reader. Otherwise, they're going to be floundering around not knowing what the fuck's going on. So how do you do that? So we talked about that in office hours this morning. And some of the ways that that I suggested that you deal with backstory in that way is, one, ask yourself, is this backstory necessary now? Like sometimes you can actually delay the revealing of the backstory or the explanation that comes with the backstory. Sometimes you can delay it Maybe you could even just delay it for a few paragraphs. But, you know, if you feel like you're trying to wedge it into the story and it's really, really clunky, take a breath, step back, and ask yourself, can I reveal this a little bit further down the track? Is it absolutely crucial that the reader know this now if it's not feeling great, if you feel like it's slowing the pace and messing with the narrative? So that's one thing. Ask yourself how long you can delay it for. The other thing that you can do that's really helpful is dialogue. Dialogue is one of the main uses of dialogue. Not the main usage, but one of the most important things that you can use dialogue for is to reveal backstory in a really sort of elegant way. You know, that it takes the pressure off the narrator to fill in backstory, and that when that can become quite instructional and very obvious. But if it's sort of woven nicely into the dialogue, that can work really well. The other thing that I suggested, of course, is text types. I'm always encouraging authors, especially authors of children's literature, to experiment with different text types. So if you're like, you might put in a snippet of a note, you might put in an email, a text message, a newspaper article, a random piece of graffiti even. Like, there's all sorts of magical ways that other messages can be fed into your narrative via different text types. It doesn't have to always be in the actual prose. So, you know, maybe you could experiment with that in terms of backstory. That can be a really helpful thing to do. So that's just a couple of tips around backstory and around solving this dilemma of getting backstory in there and determining what part of the backstory is actually important. I did point out too that with children's writing, there is a big tendency, and it doesn't matter if a little bit of this is in your story, because a lot of stories have this in them, but watch out for getting stuck in it, is this, my mum says blah, blah, blah. My dad says blah, blah, blah. When I, went down to the shop, my mum told me to blah, 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 right? It can be charming and it can be useful, but if you do it too much, you're stuck in the backstory and you're stuck in somebody else's head and you're stuck in the parental perspective and it all gets a bit tedious. So watch out for that too. Again, please don't be watching out for these things at the beginning when you're just getting clay on the, spinning wheel. These are things to look out in your rewrites and your revising and your editing period. Okay, we're not going to police ourselves too much at the start, because at the start we are simply finding the story and creating the world and getting to know the characters. All right, that was what I wanted to talk about there. I also wanted to mention that I'm creating a couple of new freebies for the Girl and Duck website, so keep an eye out for them. If you're on my newsletter, I will, of course, tell you when those freebies are up. But what I'm doing is I am reissuing what used to be called Scribbles Crackers. So way back in 2018, I think it was, or when I was running the Scribbles Academy, I actually created a whole lot of what we called Scribbles Crackers, and they're writing prompts, and they're all put together in these little cute little packages, and they're downloadables. So I'm re-releasing them. I've just got rid of the Scribbles branding and just rebranded them as Girl and Duck Crackers, Firecrackers. They're firecrackers. They're something to light up your imagination. So that'll be a 4-day email sequence that you can sign up for, and every day for 4 days you will be delivered a PDF downloadable Girl and Duck Cracker that will have lots of little quirky writing prompts in there designed just to get you playful and get you into your imagination and help you if you're feeling stuck and help you if you're feeling a bit stale. And this is all about the work, isn't it? Doing the work. Sometimes we think when we're doing these sort of playful exercises, we just think they're sort of playful and they're not much to, quack about. But that's actually part of the work. You get your pen onto paper, you get your fingers on that keyboard, you write something creative other than, a shopping list or an email. to the bank. Well, that might get creative, hey. But anyway, yeah, any bit of creative writing that you do, even if it's not to do with the actual project that you're working on, is the work, you know? You're training your brain to think of you as a writer. You're training yourself to treat yourself as a writer, as a creator. So every time you play in the sandpit, you're developing and you're accessing bits of your imagination and you're waking up your imagination and you're reminding your imagination that it's time to come out and play and that you are available to play. You know, imaginations that aren't played with, they just go dormant. They go dormant. So, you know, your imagination needs to be played with and stimulated and it needs to be welcomed into your daily life. And so these sorts of prompts are all around that. The other thing that I'm putting together, another freebie that I'm putting together for the Girl on Duck website is Q&Q Friday Top 5. Q&Q Friday Top 5. So Q&Q Friday was a show that I ran, Questions and Quacks, which was a Q&A session that I did. People would write to me with their questions about writing and publishing and all the sorts of things to do with the kid lit industry, and sometimes even questions about, you know, what sort of foundation do you wear? I don't wear foundation. I wear BB cream, by the way. So they would write to me and I would answer via video every Friday. And that show, I ended up with, I went in, some of them are on YouTube, but most of them, we moved to Vimeo because it was better quality. So a lot of those videos are in Vimeo. And so you won't be able to access them really easily by just going to the Girl and Duck YouTube channel. Anyway, so I have sifted through those videos. I think there was 115 videos. Trust me, I didn't watch them all. Jesus Christ, that would be torture, wouldn't it? To watch yourself on screen for, you know, all that time. Anyway, I went back in there and I chose what I think are the top five. And my way of choosing was, you know, the most helpful and the most common. You know, the questions that I got the most often and the ones that were, some of them were a bit curly. So I've selected the top five and I'm compiling them into a little putting them all together, okay, under one banner. And that will be another freebie that you can get over on the website and you just, click on it, sign up for it, and it comes to you via email. And the top five videos, Vimeo videos, will all be there for you to watch at your leisure and hopefully enjoy. So that's another thing that's coming up. So again, if you're not on the mailing list but you're interested in this kind of stuff, then get on the mailing list. The link is in the description bar. And I will pop up in your inbox directing you to those freebies when they become available, which will be at the time of recording, will be in probably within the week. What else did I want to say? It's actually really cold today. It's summertime, but it's windy and cold and I've got cold hands. So the business thing that I wanted to talk about, I had a really interesting conversation this morning in a Facebook group that I'm in, a business Facebook group, and there was a couple of women in there bitching and moaning about social media. And I totally get it, and I have bitched and moaned and done my fair share of it, of resisting social media too. Until I realised what a gift social media is and how lucky we are to have it if we use it wisely, as Gandalf would say. For those of us who have online businesses, for those of us who are trying to reach a bigger audience, seriously, can you really, really hate social media? Like, and blame it for what? For your not doing your marketing? Like, I think maybe it comes from being older, but, you know, living in a world that didn't have social media and knowing how hard it was to get anything off the ground without social media, you know, when you think of that, you realize what a gift social media is. We can connect. I can be talking to you now, whatever you're doing. You might be out on a run. You might be cooking a banana cake. I don't know what you're doing, but you can hear me. We can talk and we can form a connection because we have this technology that is absolutely amazing. It's like friggin' magic. I mean, if you're a scientist and you're listening to this or an engineer, you're probably rolling your eyes, but it is, like, seriously. Now, the other thing that I remembered, because I'm that old, was when television first came out. I mean, I was tiny, but I remember it from, you know, my parents and everybody talking about it and reminiscing about it. When TV first came out, everyone was terrified. Like, they were shit scared of the telly. You had to dim the lights. You had to sit a certain distance from the television. They suggested that whoever they were, the government, that you have a dull lamp on top of the television while you're watching it. Like, and it was all sort of like, it was this big scary thing, right, that just popped up in your lounge room and people were quite wary of it. When I was a kid, the telly, we were one of the first to have a television in our street. Again, I don't remember this, but someone told me about it at some sort of reunion, and I have vague memories, but not the specifically. But yeah, I mean, we weren't wealthy, that's for sure, but somehow or another we ended up with the first TV in the street. And so it was an event and people would come to our house to watch the television. And, you know, it was a black and white TV with two channels. We lived in the country, so we had two channels and it was a black and white telly. And they had the moon landing, I lived right near the primary school, and so a group of us went to my house to watch the moon landing. People were sort of billeted out to various houses because the school didn't have a telly. But, you know, some people were lucky enough to have a telly, so we went to my house to watch the moon landing. So it was at 1969. So anyway, so reflecting on this and remembering, you know, the fear that new technologies bring into our lives, and I am not saying for one second that social media doesn't come with a million, you know, it can be super, super destructive and toxic and erode our time and fuck with our brains and all those things. I agree. And I've read all the books, I've read Digital Minimalism, I've read all these things, but still, on the flip side, it is incredible time, and we have this incredible tool. If we just use it wisely and we just monitor our usage of it, that can be hard. I know it can be hard, but, you know, we can do hard things. Like, seriously, we can do hard things. So that's why I will defend social media and say that if you are running an online business and you're telling yourself all these stories about why you can't market and because you don't want to use social media, I want you to look at that and ask yourself, is that the real reason, or is there an underlying fear of being visible? Is there an underlying fear of selling and doing sales posts? And it's really, really convenient to paper over that fear with a hatred of social media. Right? We can be telling ourselves this story that we hate social media because it's disguising our fear of getting out there and getting in front of the people that we want to get in front of and selling to the people that we need to sell to in order to have a business. So for me, when I changed the narrative, when I changed the story that I was telling myself about social media, when I told myself that I was grateful for it, that I was lucky to live in an era where we have it, that it is the most incredible free tool, and it is just sitting there waiting for me to use it, when I told myself that and changed that story in my head, then I started to have more energy for social media, then I started to enjoy it more, and then I started to get the benefits of it. Now, the three F's I have for social media usage in my business are focus, fast track, and fuck off. All right? Focus, fast track, and fuck off. And that means to me, get in, do the thing you have to do, communicate with the people that you need to communicate with in a loving and kind, you know, you enjoy it. You're not just going in there resentfully. You're going all in when you're in there, and then you get out. All right? And then you get out. you fuck off. Okay? So it's like, it's just like, this is what I say when I say to people, you can use social media wisely and you can monitor it. Set up your own rules around it. Use it to your advantage and enjoy it. And understand that it's actually not hard work. You know what is hard work? Plowing the fields, digging in a salt mine. That's hard work. A little flutter on social media, you know, a couple of times a day, five times a week. It's actually not hard work. It's actually fun and it's a gift. So that's my hard ass tip for you today. If you're a businesswoman and you're listening to this and you want to change your narrative around social media, because deep down you know that it will help you connect with amazing people who will help you build your business. All right, I think that's enough for me today, and I will now sign off and wish you a very, very beautiful rest of the day or night, wherever you may be. Loads of love from me. Bye for now. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want more ducky goodness, pop over to the website www.girlandduck.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Jen E. Storer, J-E-N-E-S-T-O-R-E-R. Bye for now.